Well, it's either plunging headlong into a world of descriptions, whether it's that one or another one, they're all just as lethal. Because they have the potential of stripping you of your well-being. And that's the way it is. So to come into contact with the secret precept, short moments many times, is very fortunate. It's a secret because it's so easy. It's a secret because we keep it secret from ourselves. And even many of us might hear it and we say, oh no. No, it couldn't be that easy. I know there must be a better way. It's what they're doing over here, they're doing over here, that one's doing. I think I've got to work hard. So you see, once you come into contact with what grabs you back from over the it's time to thank your lucky stars and just keep it simple in short moments, because that's really all there is. There's nowhere to get to. And the emphasis on short moments, many times, everything is complete. Everything is complete. So for every moment that is applied, there is the experiential realization of the super completeness of that moment. And due to that, it's realized that there's nowhere else to go or to be. That getting all tangled up in a world of descriptions is just a way of copping out. Or, we might hear about short moments, and rather than being arrogant, which was the disposition I described before, we decide to maintain our very jealous nature that we've trained ourselves to have. And our jealous nature is one where we're always jealous of other people's points of view. All the points of view we hear, we want those points of view. So we read more self-help books. We try to get as many points of view as we can. Or we say, oh, everybody's saying this, so I better think this way too. This is jealousy. We want what other people have. So you see, we have to, when we rest for short moments many times and get grounded in our true nature, then we see what these words really mean. We might think they mean one thing before we start resting as awareness, but the more we rest as awareness, the more we see what things like arrogance and jealousy really are. We don't need anybody else's points of view. That isn't what our foundation should be. Because all of the conventional ideas of everything aren't immediately beneficial to people in a way where their mental, emotional, and physical life is entirely stable. Where they feel well-being, peace, and bliss in every moment, no matter what's going on. Where there's just a generalized mood of bliss, no matter what the emotions are, or the thoughts are, or the physical sensations are. And so, when we look at it this way, then we see that it's not only a matter of good fortune that we hear about short moments many times, but it's also a very serious matter, isn't it? We choose to be either happy or not. We choose to either maintain a prevailing mood of happiness for ourselves and all beings, or we do not. So this is very important. When we emphasize short moments many times and have 100% commitment to that, then all of our other ways of doing things become less and less important. All our ways of speaking and thinking and moving our bodies about in the world in haphazard ways, all of this becomes crystal clear. We see everything exactly as it is. So this is a cause for great celebration. It really is a cause for great celebration. And the more confident one becomes in awareness, the more it's realized to be a cause for celebration. There's never an end to the confidence or the cause for celebration. It's as simple as that. But it does require 100% commitment to short moments repeated many times. If there's fumbling around to try to hang on to the seal that's going to keep you afloat or the life preserver point of view, whatever it is, then that's not going to work. That's like mixing oil and water. And so when we gain confidence in awareness, we gain confidence in what is entirely non-conceptual. It's non-conceptual, but it's the unchanging premise of everything conceptual. So by gaining confidence in awareness, we find the non-conceptual and the conceptual. Whereas if we even knew about the non-conceptual, we were probably looking for that as something different than the conceptual, like a non-conceptual state of some kind to get into. So in short moments of awareness repeated many times until it becomes continuous, we start to see everything with crystalline clarity. And this is how we can afford ourselves the utmost verbal, mental, emotional, and physical respect. So this is true self-respect. True self-respect. Where we don't need to cling to any frameworks or ideas, no matter how near and dear they've been. Now, and everything that we think is some kind of a support for us will undergo the scrutiny of awareness at some point. So anything that we have been using to prop ourselves up or give us some sense of comfort, we'll end up seeing through it. We'll end up dissolving its solidity, no matter what it is, whether it's money, power, prestige, our focus on needing people or needing to be in a certain place or needing certain kinds of things. And when we see ourselves as we are, then we're naked of all the descriptions. They aren't necessary. They've never been anything anyway. There's just the pure presence of awareness. That's it. In every single moment. And this is what we start to see in short moments many times. From the first brief moment of awareness we have in our lives, in that brief moment, we see all. That's why we're so compelled by it. Because in that brief moment we see all, and then we know there's nowhere else to turn. There isn't anywhere else to turn whatsoever. And so we have these conversations like this for people who are completely committed to short moments many times. No one else comes here. It isn't for anyone else. And so we're very clear about that. Anyone can listen to the talks on the internet, but there are very few people who are invited here. And only all the people who come here must have done the 12 Inquiries teaching. And why is that? And that is because until we do the 12 Inquiries teaching, we don't have any understanding of what verbal, mental, emotional, and physical respect are. We don't have that respect for ourselves, and we don't have that respect for others. And so all of these buzzwords we hear, like self-respect, self-esteem, self-love, all of that is found in awareness. That first short moment of introduction to awareness. Or maybe for you it's a longer moment, or maybe from the first moment it was all the time from that first moment. Whatever it is, we find everything we've been looking for. Esteem, respect, love, it's all there. All the nurturing we've been looking for everywhere, and anything we've explored, we find there. And then we know we don't have anywhere else to look. And so, this is very important. Don't confuse yourself, and don't confuse other people with strategies that are going to end up in pain. When we gain confidence in awareness, we find a way that is very naturally occurring to be in relationship with everyone, rightfully. So for the first time, we become capable of being fully relational, of being fully loving. It can't come from anywhere else. It can't come through trying to pretend that you're being relational with other people or with yourself. It just can't come from anywhere else. It'll be contrived as long as you're trying to be relational, trying to be compassionate. However, by maintaining awareness, you'll find that relationality is inherent in everything. In seamlessness, relationality is implicit. It doesn't need to be contrived in any way. So we find that inherent, uncontrived, organic, uninhibited relationality of everything in short moments many times, related to our own experience. By coming to see that every thought we think, every emotion we have, every action we engage in is timelessly free, uninhibited, organic, and uncontrived. If we're trying to contrive our thoughts, emotions, and physical activities than in the way we use our words, then we'll just spend our whole life in contrivance. However, in the sanctity of short moments repeated many times, we come to see that all of our speech, no matter what it is, all of our emotions, all of our thoughts, all of our physical actions are primordially pure and timelessly free. And it's always been that way. No matter what the nature of our life has been before we hear about short moments, and no matter what it'll be like from then on. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, this is nectarous. To hear this is absolutely nectarous, because what we've been doing until we hear about short moments is trying to bargain with all our thoughts, emotions, sensations, and actions. We're saying, oh, yeah, I'll trade off a few of these bad ones for some good ones, and then that'll make me a good person. I'll think I'm good if I have good thoughts and emotions and actions, and everybody else will too. And yet, when we come to the ground of equalness and awareness in short moments many times, we see that what true equality is that everything, no matter what it is timelessly free. So if you've been the worst person on earth, when you come to short moments many times and done horrible things, thought horrible things, had out of control afflictive states and disturbing emotions, or if you've been a renunciate saint who has renounced all emotional activity, all thoughts, all actions of the physical world, in awareness, everything is in a ground of equalness. And from that first short moment, it's realized that everything is equal. Everyone is equal. There's never been anyone who is not aware. There's never been anyone who is left out. And so you see, if we stray from that very primal knowledge that is pure knowledge of short moments repeated many times, we actually harm ourselves. And if we suggest things to others that are antidotes, then we are offering something that we needn't offer. It's better to just keep quiet. They'll get a lot more out of that than a bunch of blabbing. Because you see, the non-conceptual doesn't have a voice, but everyone hears it nevertheless. So you can just sit there and say nothing, and your message will be loud and clear and reach right into the heart essence of the matter, into the heart essence of everything. And in this way, you can have a much greater contribution to the situation than getting your 2 cents worth in. Now, most of us, we just don't want to be found out, you know. We don't want to be found out by others. We don't want to be found out by ourselves to ourselves. So even though we might have all kinds of guilts and hidden neuroses, thought disorders, or whatever they're called these days, and little secrets and this, that, and the other thing, big secrets, no matter what it is, just let it all hang out. All those little twinges of everything that you've had ever since you were a little kid that have become deeply ingrained points of view about yourself and who you are, whatever it is, just relax. There isn't anything else to do. It's just like if your body was stiff as a board, you'd want to relax it. And this is the case too with your thoughts and emotions. It's just like if you've been going all day long, all wrapped up in thoughts, emotions, and physical activity, you can't wait to get to bed at night. It's like, oh, at last that's over. Zonk. Don't have to deal with that anymore. And so, it, the very least we can do for ourselves is live life without any expectations at all, and a 100% commitment to awareness. When we have a 100% commitment to awareness, less and less do we rely on expectations of others and of our thoughts, emotions, and actions being one way or another. And until we begin the profundity of living as awareness, we have so many expectations of ourselves. We're always wrapped up in this thing, oh wow, you know, I've got all these negative states, disturbing emotions, afflictions, and however, I'm really working on it, so I know it's going to get better. And even though we may have said that for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, we have yet another strategy we're going to try to make it all better. So we have an expectation that whatever we're up to is going to somehow work. We buy a new book or hear about something new and we take it up, and for a while it seems to be working. One of my favorite examples is always positive affirmations. Now that's something that most everyone's tried today, positive affirmations, where you say, oh yeah, my life is good. My partner loves me. I have a great job. And we repeat that. Life is good. My partner loves me. I have a great job. That's a positive affirmation. And then saying that is supposed to make it happen. And so for a while, wow, that feels better. Feels better than the harangue of thinking we have been involved in. However, then if we have even a moment of discernment or discrimination, we're going to see that If this thing really worked, then everyone in the world would be dramatically changed by now, because positive affirmations have been around for a long time. And so we begin to, like a scientist, test these things in our own experience. How many of our positive affirmations really do come true? And how is this really a ground of fundamental change? Have we somehow tapped into the fundamental condition here? And we learn that we have not. And so we learn that we have not because there's nothing in that. It's just another point of view. The fundamental condition is it doesn't have any thought or reasoning involved in it. It doesn't need to be goaded or coaxed with any words. And so just that moment of the instinctive realization of awareness, it's based on instinct. What is instinctual? What is innate? What is inherent? What doesn't require any words? It's just the nakedness of primal purity present as this moment. spontaneously present as this moment. And in that way, every moment is complete and identical. And we see that more and more. We see that every moment is complete and identical, that it's open, that it really is indescribable, that everything really is indivisible, and that everything occurs spontaneously. And the only way that we can really grok that is in gaining confidence and awareness. And so you're the only one who can keep that secret from yourself. No one can hold it back from you or take it away from you. It's so simple, so easy, so overt, so blazingly obvious that it remains hidden. There are all kinds of ancient texts that have this one instruction in them. It may be repeated thousands of times, but no one has ever seen it because they're too focused on all the other things in the text. So the secret text remains hidden, remains completely hidden because all the focus is on, oh yeah, I gotta do this. Then I gotta do that, and then I gotta run over here, and then I gotta go up there and sit in the cave for a while, then I gotta bury myself in the ground, then I gotta twist my legs around my head, and or, you know, today it might be a million other things. Go to a rave, drop some psychedelics, where's my ecstasy, where's my this, where's my that? And so in that way, our nature in every moment remains hidden, even though it couldn't be more obvious. Have you seen those movies where the guy or gal, they're just walking along and they jump in the air and click their heels together? Ta-da! Carefree and happy. No matter what's occurring. In short moments, many times self-censorship comes to an end. For example, say you've blurted out something you wish you hadn't said. You blurted it out, then later you wish you hadn't said it. And then you're taking all this as grounds for being unlikable or not liking yourself or whatever it is, seeing that you need to improve in some way. Now, that's one course of action. You blurt out something and you wish you hadn't said it, and you know, everybody who hears it, they wish you hadn't said it too. So you're not the only one. It's not like it went unrecognized. Everyone heard it. And you're just there with all of these points of view, no matter what they are. The emotions, the thoughts, all the things you're planning to try to weasel out of it or weasel into it or whatever. Well, you see, when something like that happens, the only thing to do is just relax. Just totally relax. Because at some point you're going to have to realize in the moment of one of these blurts of something that you didn't want to say, that it's just an appearance of total purity. This is how we come to really understand the efficacy and the results of short moments many times. It doesn't mean we continue to run around acting like a total idiot, although we may. But if we do, everything we do as a happy idiot will be for the benefit of all. It won't be destructive of self and others. And so that's the key distinction right there. Benefit of self and others. This is the purpose of our human life, to be a benefit to ourselves and others. And in the profundity of awareness, we find everything we need to make that possible. Awareness has a mood of pure pleasure that isn't within the realm of thought or emotional states. It's pleasure that's pure because there's never been anything else in it. All of its appearances are appearances of pure pleasure, no matter what they are. And that can just seem like a total insult or an assault on everything we've believed. Right away we might say, oh, what do you mean, you know, if my child gets killed, how could that be pure pleasure? Well, go ahead and question away, but rest as awareness while you're doing it. And ask someone who can answer your question, if you have a question. There's no way to understand through thought and reason that all that appears is an appearance of pure pleasure. It's absolutely impossible. However, by training in the instinctive realization of awareness, from the first moment you come to realize that everything is an appearance of pure pleasure. The more confident you become in awareness, the more that's obvious. There's a reality that is fundamental to the reality that most people talk about, the reality of opposites, where there's pleasure and pain, two opposites. Fundamental to that seeming reality is the reality of pure pleasure. And that reality of pure pleasure isn't what you think it would be if you're all wrapped up in points of view. So if you're all wrapped up in points of view and someone says to you everything has as its fundamental condition pure pleasure, you might think of it as one thing. But when you actually realize what that is, it isn't like what you thought it was. Because when you're wrapped up in the world of opposites, it's impossible to see how the opposites are not two. It's absolutely impossible to see how that could be the case. It's impossible to see that you could be in excruciating physical pain and have that be fundamentally a state of total pleasure, where there's complete freedom from the excruciating pain. So this is the greatest kindness we can give ourselves. And it's so simple. It's so easy. Completely simple, completely easy. It's for everyone and anyone.